Glad you chose to be with us today, whether you're here in the auditorium or you're joining us on Facebook Live, welcome. And if this is your first time, a special welcome to you. And I think you're going to be glad that you came. I think you'll be glad you tuned in today. And since November is the month of Thanksgiving, one of the things that you've been with us at Gateway for a while know that one of the things about Thanksgiving is that at Gateway, every year at Thanksgiving time, we have a Be Rich campaign where we ask you to do more and to give more. And this is a time when we're raising money. Now, this is important. Listen to me. This is a time when we're raising money, but not for ourselves. It's to support the work of a local or international agency that we feel are hitting home runs in the work that they're doing. So the first year that we did this campaign, we set up the Newton Crisis Pregnancy Center, got that started with our Be Rich gift. And the second one, we supported the repairs of the Breach Ministry that's here in Covington, and our people are still involved with that, feeding people every 2 weeks in that situation. So that's the kind of the do more part of it. In our third one, we supported Jimmy Garger and the work in Liberia of Greater Love Ministry. And that's where Jimmy is, by the way, right now. He'll be there for the whole year ministering in that area. And then last year, we supported Brighten Your World, a work with orphans in Ethiopia. This year, our Be Rich campaign is going to help to restart a local ministry for homeless people entitled Family Promise. Family Promise. The mission of Family Promise is to help the homeless and low-income families to achieve sustainable independence through the community-based response, through a community-based response. And if you'd like to know more about them, we put some of the information in your bulletin, but you can go to their website as well and find out more about them. And we ask on our Be Rich campaign, those of you who have been with us before, you know this, we ask for a one-time gift. We're not asking you to keep giving. We're asking for a one-time gift of $39.95. $39.95. That's it. Sounds like a TV commercial, doesn't it? And our goal this year is to raise $3,000 for Family Promise. And you need to know that every penny that comes in goes out to them. We don't keep anything for ourselves. And if you're participating online, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, you can participate by going to our website at www.greatgatewaycommunity.org, and you can hit the donate button, and there's a tax-deductible gift that you can give for that. Now, excuse me, if you are giving to the Be Rich campaign, please put 95 cents at the end of the gift to let us know that it's for the Be Rich campaign. That's the way we flag it. If you're giving electronically, if you're giving by check, that 95 cents does it. Also, there's a bucket out here at the guest services table with a Be Rich sticker on it. You can put cash in there if you want, and anything in that bucket goes to the Be Rich campaign. We just know that that's what that one's for. But again, we don't keep anything for ourselves in this. Now, some of you probably know that Myra and I and Colin, our son, just got back from Kenya. We were in Dubai in Kenya, and this particular picture is very special to us because that little guy standing beside Colin in the yellow shirt is Daniel. He's the young man we support, and we got to meet him. And the lady is his mother, and the little girl is his sister. So we had a great experience with our team of 26 people. We were on a medical service trip and serviced a record number of people in the clinic that they started, 410 started last year, and Colin was a part of that. Our trip was sponsored by Global X, the mission arm of North Point Community Ministries, and we worked in conjunction with 410 Bridge, a ministry that is aimed at empowering the nation. And the name 410 actually comes from 1 Peter 4:10, which says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's gift in its various form. And by the way, that picture is Mount Kenya. In Kenya. And while we were in Dubai, the thing that struck me, particularly among God's people in Dubai, was the ingenuity and generosity of these people. None of them had indoor plumbing. Most water that they have come from collecting tanks that come from the infrequent rain. We were there in the rainy season, and I think we had 2 days of about 5 minutes of rain. And so most comes from either collecting rain in rain tanks or water drawn from the local river, as well as a well that was dug a few years ago by 410 Bridge. That's the only clean water, by the way, they have. Bathrooms are nothing but a hole in the ground that you kind of squat over. None of the houses had floors. Everything was on dirt, including the churches, I might say. One house that I visited, it was a 91-year-old man, and this is the house, by the way, it was a 91-year-old man, and he had a light bulb hanging in his one room, and I was kind of surprised at this because I didn't see any electrical stuff, and he was so proud to say that he had put solar panels in, so he had light at night. Very ingenious. Cooking is done over a mound of dirt, about that high, that fire is lit under, and a pot can then sit on that top of that mound of dirt. Most houses are either made of mud or cow dung. Almost all of the houses were that way. A few of them were made of cinder blocks, and some of them were made of sheet tin, like you see here that this gate is. The average wage, according to Benchmark Report, for the more affluent rural areas of Kenya, the average wage is $124 a month per family. How would you like to live on that? And before you say, well, you know, the cost of living has got to be, the cost of living isn't much different. You know, a bottle of Coke cost 100 shillings. Or 150 shillings. That's about $1, $1.50 over here. So the cost of living is not much different from here. And I tell you this because the Christians in Kenya, as poor as they are, in the churches are taught to be generous and to give, not to expect. That's what they're taught. If you need medical treatment in Kenya, you have to wait till you have the money to pay the bill for the treatment. We met one man who has a broken hip. He was hit by a water buffalo, broke his hip, and he is waiting for the community to raise money so that he can go and have surgery. Can you imagine the pain he's in while he waits for this necessary surgery? In Kenya, there was no sense of entitlement, none, only a spirit of generosity that was demonstrated by the Christian brothers and sisters. And I tell you all of this because it made me think of some people that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I stand corrected. And here's what he says about them. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And what Paul is about to describe is something that does not come to us naturally. Their giving that he's going to talk about was not motivated by a sense of philanthropy or human kindness, but by the grace of God that had captured their hearts. You know, naturally, we all want to look out for old number one. We all want to look out for ourselves. But when God begins a work in us, he gives us the grace that we need to pass that grace and that kindness on to others. Now, just so that we're all on the same page, grace means unmerited favor. Grace means unmerited favor. It is not something, grace is not something you earn. None of us deserve God's grace. If you deserve God's grace, it's not grace. It's not something that you earn. It's not something that we deserve. It is just the opposite. It is something that is given to us that we don't deserve. It is so undeserved. Someone once described this grace that God has this way, and I love this definition of grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. You need to remember, salvation is free, but it cost God dearly. It cost him his one and only son. And these early believers did not give tokens of their sacrifice, of their gifts with no real sacrifice. Nor was their giving like so many selfish Christians today whose love for the temporal things matched their love for eternal things. You know, giving for such people is a battle because they're still clinging to this temporal life. These early impoverished believers gave magnanimously, and they gave abundantly. But again, Paul shuts out the idea that they did this by their own human merit, because this was not natural. This was prompted in them by God's grace. I love the way the New Living Translation puts it when it says this: "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia." Grace always leads to acts of kindness towards other people. He goes on to say, they were being tested by many troubles. We talked about testing already this morning. They were being tested by many troubles. And they were very poor. But they were also filled with abundant joy, which overflowed in rich generosity. They had numerous problems. Very poor refers actually in the Greek to extremely poor. It was extreme poverty. In fact, the area of Macedonia today would be the northern part of Greece, and that area had been plundered again and again and again by the Roman army. If anyone ever had an excuse not to give, it would have been to these Macedonian people. Yet, despite their dire poverty, they were a people filled with abundant joy. We saw this in Kenya. It was an amazing thing. These people had nothing to speak of, and yet there was a joy in them. And a joy that didn't stay within them, but like the people Paul describes, a joy they were willing to share. They displayed a rich generosity to us. And by the way, the Greek word generosity here is the Greek word liberality. And it can be translated simply as they gave sincerely, or they gave with single-minded giving. There was no, I really don't want to do this, but I feel, you know, an obligation. It wasn't that way at all. Now, they didn't have much material wealth, but I will tell you, these people were wealthy with liberality. They were willing to give. Their focus was on what God had done for them, not the double-minded thinking that we see so often among God's people today. The double-minded people find it hard to give because their focus is always on their own needs and wants. The temporal desires conflict with their concern for others and with the kingdom of God. The people Paul describes in our text were not stingy, like the people of Kenya. They gave with no thought for themselves of the things of this world. Their own poverty was not used in an excuse. I can't help. I don't have it. And Paul says this, "For I can testify." In other words, I've seen this. I've experienced this. I'm not just telling you a story. This is something I witnessed. I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They gave above and beyond any natural ability that they had. We might say today they went above and beyond the call of duty. And they did it not because they were guilted into it, but look what he says. He did it their own free will. They had a desire to give. Now, let me pause here and say something here very important for us. You need to understand this. It kind of ties into what we've been saying in some previous messages when we talked about excess baggage and when we talked about it's not that complicated. You just need to understand, as modern day believers, there is no fixed amount or percentage giving that you have to give. As modern day believers, there is no fixed amount or no percentage giving that you have to give. The tithe was an Old Testament law. And what did we say about the Old Testament law? The Old Testament law is not incumbent upon New Testament believers. We are not obligated to any part of the Old Testament law. Now, if you think, well, yeah, except for the 10%, well, then you have to follow all of it. That's what Paul said in Galatians. Remember, we talked about this. The pattern for giving in the New Testament is not percentages. It's not tithes. It's grace. It's grace. What we have received, we pass on to others. I might talk a little bit more about this next week, but if you want to know more about this, in case I don't, just read the rest of 2 Corinthians 8 and read also 2 Corinthians 9 and discover for yourself the principles of New Testament giving. And remember, none of these things are additional commands to the one command that we said we have to follow. These are simple commentaries on how it shows in our life. You love, you're interested in others. We love others as Jesus loved us. In fact, Paul writes later in this chapter this way. He says, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." And that's the pattern the Macedonian church was following. They were following the example of their Savior. And Paul says they gave not only what they could afford, but more. They did more than anyone could have expected from them. Now, life was difficult for these people. Not only did they live in an already impoverished area, but we tend to forget this. Not only did they live in an already impoverished area, not only were they already poor, when those men accepted Christ, they lost their jobs. It cost something to follow Christ. I find that many times today in the church, we want to follow Christ without it costing us anything. And when it costs us something, we think something's wrong. There was a cost to them. And despite of their own desperate situation, despite of their own need, in spite of their own needs, they joyfully gave with no regard for themselves to help poor saints in Jerusalem who they probably would never meet. Matter of fact, John MacArthur, I think, puts it well when he puts it this way. He says, they believed God's promise to supply all their needs. And they refused to worry about them, gladly placing themselves in deeper dependence on him. Like David, who would not give the Lord something that cost him nothing. Or the poor widow who gave all that she had. And you remember that story of the poor widow who you know, all of these people were coming and they were throwing their money in the offering bucket. And, you know, back then the offering bucket was in a public place so people could see what you were given and you could have a little bit of pride in that. That's one of the things that people were real excited about. And that money would roll around in a thing. So the more you put in, the more noise it made. And so people would say, wow, look how generous that person was. And here comes this poor widow and all she has is two mites, that's less than a penny. She puts them in, and Jesus said she gave more than everyone else because everyone else was given out of their abundance. She gave all she had. These Macedonians gave with a selfless abandon. And here's what our text says. Amazing, amazing thing. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They begged us to give. Now, I'm going to tell you why they begged in just a minute. But years ago, a pastor was speaking on this in the pastor's conference at Moody Bible Institute, where Myra and I graduated from. And he said when he read this verse, He said the auditorium full of pastors erupted in laughter. It was so bad that he had to stop his message and say, "What happened? What are you laughing about?" The man was Stuart Briscoe, by the way, pastor from Wisconsin. I don't know if he's still up in Wisconsin or if he's retired, but he's a famous Christian speaker and writer as well. And finally, one of the pastors spoke up and he said, "Well, what makes us laugh is that they're begging them to give. We've never had people beg us to take an offering. We have to beg them to give something. This is just ridiculous." And you know, I find it really sad that so many Christians today evaluate the truth of Scripture based on their experience rather than evaluating their experiences based on the truth of Scripture. We've got it backwards. These people beg them to give. Now, most commentators, and I agree with the commentators on this one, most commentators feel that the reason Paul writes these words is because not only didn't Paul expect them not to give, Paul tried to talk them out of giving. He saw their situation, and they had to beg him in order to give because Paul didn't want them to give. And they begged over, and they didn't quit. They begged over and over again for the privilege of giving, again, probably because Paul was discouraging them. You don't need to. We're fine. We got this. You're exempt. Knowing their situation, he was trying to talk them out of giving, not talk them into giving. The reason the people of the Moody Conference laughed. But Paul gives us the reason behind this unspeakable generosity displayed for these unbelievably impoverished people when he says this: "They even did more than we hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord." That was the key. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to. See, when a people are sold out to Jesus Christ, there's no stopping them. There's no stopping them. They gave themselves to Jesus, and then they gave themselves to service. They gave themselves to Jesus, and then they got involved. This is an example, by the way, of that vertical horizontal relationship that I've talked to you about in the past. Loving God shows itself in loving people. And in fact, the Apostle John wrote, "If you don't, can't have one without the other. Impossible to say that we love God. You can't have one without the other." According to John, not me, the Apostle John. And the Be Rich campaign is the way we at Gateway try to demonstrate our love for people. We give with no strings attached. We give not expecting anything in return. We simply pass on the blessing that we have received to people who need a blessing. And that said, let me pause here and commend the Gateway family, because you have already begun doing this. Steve stole my thunder a little bit ago. Our goal in the Operation Christmas Child — the Operation Christmas Child is a part of our Be Rich campaign, it's one aspect of it — and our goal for a church our size was to get 210 boxes, oh me of little faith. I thought, you know, because we came down to the deadline and we had 30 boxes, and I thought, oh goodness. That was our goal. We gave 230 boxes, and the gifts are still coming in that were going to be taken to the center. So, give yourself a hand, because you deserve it on that one. Now, Family Promise is an organization that works with homeless people. We're trying to get them back on their feet and give them a sustainable lifestyle that they can just continue to move forward with. Our goal for them is $3,000. $39.95, that's all we're asking you to give. If all of the people who attend Gateway regularly would give $39.95, we would exceed that $3,000 goal. But, and here's the thing, I don't want you to give out of compulsion. I want you to be able to give entirely on your own. No pressure for us. But let me tell you my prayer for you and for me. My prayer is that our first action will give ourselves to the Lord and just do what God leads you to do. That we'll be like the Macedonian believers and we'll trust God to supply our needs while we take time to supply the needs of other people. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the grace that you've given us. Lord, I've been to many parts of this world and I've seen a lot of poverty, but nothing like I experienced in Kenya. And yet the joy of your people was amazing. And the generosity of your people, they had so little and yet they always wanted to give us something. And I thank you for the work of 410 Bridge that is teaching them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And apparently these people have gotten it. So we pray that as we come to our Be Rich campaign, Lord, we will be able to give out of our abundance to those who have very little, some nothing. But Lord, we want to be able to do it with joy and with gladness and motivated by you, not motivated by a speech, but motivated by a sense of obligation, but motivated out of a sense of love for you and for our fellow man. So as we pray so often here at Gateway, we pray once again, give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard. Then give us the courage to step out in faith and do something. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.